Pastor Nathan Harris, for reminding us that God loves us. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. We are looking at our memory verse because we are doing a session. And of course, the children can be dismissed at this time for the children's Bible hour. We've been looking at the study of the local church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is the verse I'm rising. How many of you could say that without looking at it? Would you raise your hand? All two of you? All right, let's try this again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's say this again. Exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day. Let's try it again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Chapter 10, verse 25 is just as biblical as John 3:16. It is just as biblical as Romans 5:8. It is something that God has said to us regarding the importance of that there is an issue involved, many issues that are involved. One of those reasons, it's a spiritual issue, because the fact is, people, if their heart is not right, they don't care about Hebrews 10:25 any more than they care about John 3:16. The scripture itself does not rule their lives. And many issues that the Bible gives us, we ought to take very seriously. We ought not somehow make certain things more important and less important. Now, I understand that there are certain commandments that are heavier. For instance, I'd rather be hated than murdered. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, at the same time, the scripture tells us that it is wrong to murder, but it's also wrong to hate. And certainly, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But he also commanded us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And when a person's heart is not right with God, they are going to take very lightly that verse. Some people have a hard heart, some people have a shallow heart, some have a divided heart, but that person that has a good heart is going to take that seriously. There's not only a spiritual issue involved, but when we're talking about the local church, there's a fellowship issue involved. It's important that you understand that we need to make connections one with another. I mentioned this Sunday night as we were studying Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17, or verse 16, which tells us that we need to be making connections. That's why church is not on the internet. Church is not on television. Church is when you interact with other Christians. And that's why it tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Why? Because you're going to be exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The local church is a truth issue. And we mentioned that the last time that it is important that we understand that truth is at stake. What is truth? Pilate asks. Well, the scripture tells us that God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are truth. And this is why a church must be surrounded about that truth. You and I need to be confronted with truth regularly. You know, think about it. If you don't get it in church, where are you going to get it? Well, you say, well, I read my Bible. Yeah, but at the same time, that's a good thing that you read your Bible, but it's also good to be confronted with truth over issues that sometimes you may not understand. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you need to be constantly confronted with the word of God. When I go to work, when I worked in a secular job, when I go to work, I didn't really get anybody saying, hey man, you need to be in church. You need to read your Bible. You need to love God. No, but I heard that constantly when I was in a church. The gospel is truth. The scripture tells us that we need to understand the truth of the gospel. So much confusion on that. So it's a truth issue. This morning, I want you to see that the local church, and I want you to stay with me on this, the local church is an authority issue. It's an authority issue. Now, if you notice there, if you have Hebrews 10:25, you go back a few verses, you'll see that it describes, in verse 19, the blood of Jesus. And being Jesus, it says in verse 21, he is a high priest, what's the next word? Over the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that the house of God is the church of God. And so we have to understand that Jesus Christ is over the church. And being over the church, we have to understand there's an authority involved in that. Romans chapter 12 or 13, let's go there. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1. And if you can stay with me on this, Scripture tells us this. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher, what's the word? Actually, that's the word that is translated in other places as authority. And we should be subject unto higher authorities. For there is no authority but of God. But it does say that the powers or the authority that be are what? Ordained of God. And I want to develop this with you this morning. So whosoever therefore resisteth that authority or that power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now particularly one authority mentioned here are the rulers, verse 3. And that these rulers, it tells us that their responsibility is to address evil. The issue of authority in the local church. I want you to stay with me in this. Try your best not to get off into other things. The issue of authority in the local church. You know, most of us have had problems with authorities. Teenagers like to be free from parental oversight. Wives don't like it when their husbands tell them what to do. Citizens often prefer a government that keeps its hands out of their own personal affairs. No one wants to stop when the policeman wants to pull them over. Human beings have a problem with authority. Every organization, from the family to corporations to governments, they wield some sort of authority over others. Authority is necessary for society to be ordered and stable. Human beings want to live life according to their own authority. Man by nature is rebellious. And this is why when we're talking about the local church, much is said in the United States of America of individualism. You know, I just want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But the Bible tells us that there is a sense in which we have to understand that we must submit to authorities. First of all, I want us to see this morning the definition of authority. The definition of authority. What is authority? Well, authority is the power and right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. Wow, somebody has that kind of authority. No wonder we tend to react against that. They want to give us orders. They want to tell us what to do. They want to make decisions. And they want to enforce obedience. Well, I said that Jesus Christ is over the church. So we ought not be surprised that Jesus Christ is going to claim authority, the power or the right to give us orders, to make decisions, to enforce obedience. I want us to go back to the book of Matthew, if we could. And we could see many verses that uses this word, authority. But I want you to just kind of follow with me a little bit. We're going to look at some verses in the book of Matthew that will help us to define what authority is and see how Jesus Christ claims that authority. Now, Jesus Christ didn't just have a position of authority. You know, authority is not just a position. Just because you have a position, you might be able to enforce certain things. But the fact is, if you are not the right kind of authority, people are going to react against that authority real quickly. Jesus was the right kind of authority. Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Look with me at verse 29. After Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you were to have a red letter edition in your Bible, you'd see that chapters 5, 6, and 7 is predominantly in red, because Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Well, in verse 28 of chapter 7, it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because when he taught them as one having authority. He didn't give suggestions. He said, this is what you must do. This is how you are to believe. And they said, wow, he not only claims to have a position of authority, but he has authority when he speaks. Well, if you go over to chapter 8 in the book of Matthew, we're told in chapter 8, it says that there came a centurion in chapter 8, verse 5. And he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick. In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. But notice the perception of this military soldier. He answered, the centurion says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Military personnel understand at least that there should be a sense of authority structures in their work. And he said, I'm a man under authority. And I say, go and do this. And he does. Do this. So what this man was saying is, Jesus, because you have authority, all you have to do is speak the word and it will happen. And Jesus marveled at the perception of that soldier. Look over to chapter 9 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 9. If you'll notice verse 6, he was wanting to heal somebody and he said, I want to forgive their sins. But verse 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority, that's the word there, or power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto this man of the palsy, get up! Walk! And they saw that he was not just a person of words. He had the authority to forgive people of their sins. And by the way, he has that same authority now. The Bible tells us that in verse 8, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled and they glorified God, which had given such authority unto men. Look with me to chapter 10, verse 1. And I just want you to note this, because this is going to be one of our points. That verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power or authority against unclean spirits. And the scripture tells us that he basically points out in chapter 10 that these disciples were able to do such a thing as what he did. Turn with me to chapter 21, because now he had gotten the attention of the religious leaders. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him at his teaching, and they said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee the authority to do this? Well, Jesus, being very wise and very perceptive, he said, well, let me ask you a question. You answer my question, I'll answer your question. He says, the baptism of John, was it of God or not? Well, they understood they were given a trick question. So they basically said, now if we say it's of God, then Jesus is going to say, why didn't you listen to him? And you say it's of man, people are going to rebel because they love John. So they answered, verse 27, we cannot tell. So Jesus said, well, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I have. Now what was he saying? He understood there are people that don't want authority. He understood that some people didn't want to submit to certain things of God. And that's still true. People reject authority. Chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. This is how Jesus ends his ministry in the book of Matthew. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's that same word, all authority is given unto me where? Where is it? In heaven and in earth. So, Jesus said, I have the authority. I have the authority or the right to give orders. I have the authority to make decisions. I have the authority to to enforce obedience. Now, John chapter 17. Let's go to a couple other verses here. John chapter 17. And verse 2. Jesus, in his priestly prayer in John chapter 17, says that there is an authority given him, but how? Verse 2, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh. So God the Father gave Jesus God's authority. And that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't God, but they worked in one. And no matter what Jesus did, he was always doing what God the Father wanted. He did not act independently. So even Jesus, when he was on this earth, according to Philippians chapter 2, submitted himself under the authority of the Trinity. Look at chapter 19 of the book of John, verse 10. Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have authority, power, to crucify thee? I mean, did Pilate really have that kind of power? Could Pilate have literally, irregardless of God, killed Jesus? Well, Jesus answered, verse 11, thou couldest have no authority at all against me except it was given thee from above. So, the scripture tells us that God is the one that has authority. Look over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. So, man, you're turning a lot of verses today. Well, it's our authority. Okay, so Acts chapter 26, look at verse 18. Now, here Paul is told by Christ that he will, according to verse 18, open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light and from the authority of Satan, the power of Satan, unto God. Wow. So Jesus can remove you under those habitual sins. Jesus can remove you from those things that will devastate you. He can turn you from the authority of Satan to the authority of God. That's the kind of authority and power Jesus has. So, Romans 13, we won't turn there again. The powers or the authorities that be are of God. So, don't resist those authorities. And if you are under an authority, you need to be willing to submit to that authority. Except, I don't like the way that authority is telling me what to do. Well, we're going to see this morning that the general principle is that you are to submit to authorities. Number two, the second thing I want you to see is the delegation of authority. The delegation of authority. Now, I mentioned Matthew 10, verse 1, because I wanted you to see that there is the authority of God, there is the authority of Jesus, there's the authority of the Bible. So God gives others authority, not on their own, but because He has delegated that to them. There's the clear teachings of Scripture. There's the principles of Scripture. So we want to understand a little bit about how does God delegate authority. Well, He does it through His Word And whether it be a specific statement in the Bible or a principle that we find in the Bible, there is this authority. Four of them. Number one, we've already looked at this morning, government. Government. God has put us in societies where we have presidents and kings and princes, and depending on somebody's place of growing up. Of course, here in the United States, we have presidents. We have three branches of government. Don't you just love them? Well, they're really very protective if you understand the nature of government. There is the president, the executive branch, you have the legislative branch, and you have the legal branch, whether it be you have the Supreme Court, the Congress, you have the president. They make, here's a word you love, laws. They say you have to obey certain laws. Now, they may not themselves, but you do. All right? And the powers that be are of God. Don't resist government. You say, but sometimes government's pretty bad. Do you realize how bad the government was when Paul wrote Romans 13? There was a guy named Caesar who was killing Christians by putting them in flames in their backyard to light his yard. And yet God said, obey governments. Number two, the second delegated authority is the home. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm glad I'm not trying to impress the woke culture today, because this is heretical, what I'm going to say to you. But this is the Word of God. Remember, those who have a political agenda are not always going to tell the truth, but God's Word is always going to tell you the truth. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, what's the word? Unto your own husband. That doesn't mean you got to submit to everybody else's husband, okay? But you've got to submit to your own husband. Why? Because God has delegated authority that the home is run by dad. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. So dad can delegate authority too, to mom. And the scripture says in verse 2, honor them. So, in other words, we have this authority. So God says, husbands, dads, you are in charge of your house. Now, any wise leader is going to take advantage of the gifts and abilities of those he is in authority over. That's why a good husband and a good dad says, I need my wife, I need my, I need the mother of my children to help me with this. But nonetheless, this is an authority that God has given as delegated authority over your home. Number three, your job. And you'll see in chapter 6, verse 5 that it says, servants, be in subjection, be obedient to them that are your what? Your masters. So what we find here is that there is such a thing as slavery. Now, I'm not going to get into the subject of slavery this morning, but I want you to understand that in a true sense, you are, when you work a job, under the rule of your master. And though an employer does not technically own his employee to the extent that a master owns his slave, he does, in a real sense, own the time of his employee. Agree? So your boss says, okay, I need you to work from this hour to this hour. But I don't want to. You have a job, and therefore he owns or she owns the right and has the authority to tell you when to show up and when not to show up and how to do your job. And number 4, and this is really the subject that we're trying to emphasize this morning, not only does God delegate authority to government, does he delegate authority to the home? Does he delegate authority to your employer? But he also delegates authority to the church. Now, this is something that is way beyond people's thinking. Because they think, man, you go to church, you ought to just go and fellowship and worship, and you don't have anybody telling you what to do. Well, wait a minute. God gave at least 3 authorities to the church. When he said in Matthew 28, let's go back over there. When he said, all authority is given unto me, he then delegates his authority to those who are listening to him. He says, I want you to go, therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And I'm with you until the first century is over and all the apostles are dead. Didn't you see that? Of course you didn't see that. Some of you thought, well, I don't know, I didn't look. Well, look. He says, until the end of the world. So in other words, what you'll see when you go over to the book of Acts chapter 2, and I'm just repeating something I gave some time back. Go over to Acts chapter 2. It says that in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine, and they also abided in the doctrine, the apostles' fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayer, because in verse 47, they were adding to the church. 3 things that the church is delegated to do. Number 1, to evangelize and make disciples. And that's why in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word there is to make disciples of all nations. So in other words, the church has the delegated authority under Jesus Christ to see that people get saved and people are being discipled or they're following Christ. Number 2, they're to teach. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever he said. So they are to teach. And then thirdly, they are given the authority to discipline. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and it tells us that, if you notice with me verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother, and if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the what? To the church. This is the only second time you'll see the word ecclesia, church, in the Gospels. And he says to them, if you neglect to hear the church, then consider him as an unsaved person, a heathen and a publican. I think that's what he's getting at there. You say, yeah, but who gives you that authority? Well, Jesus did. In verse 18, I say unto you, whatsoever ye as a church shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And here's a verse taken out of context all the time. And I say unto you that if two or three of you on earth, as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done. So, in other words, under the authority of the Word of God, under the authority of Jesus Christ, a church can say to an individual in that church, you're not living right. You need to change. What right do they have to do that? It's a delegated authority. But particularly when it comes to teaching. Now, it tells us in Acts 2 that the apostles' doctrine. But I want you to go over to the book of Acts. Are you staying with me? I'm taking you a lot of verses this morning. Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, the apostle Paul had established churches all the way across Asia Minor. And one of those areas that he established a church was in Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, he called for the what of the church? Are you there? Elders. Now, he said, I want you to tell those elders something. Verse 26, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you what? Overseers. Ah, so these elders are also overseers. And they are to feed the flock, or the church of God. The word feed there is to shepherd or pastor the flock. So my point I'm trying to make to you is this. The pastor, the overseer, which is the term that's translated bishop, and the elder are all the same person in the New Testament. If you go over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, you'll see this again. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. And he says in verse 2, feed or pastor the flock, shepherd the flock, taking the oversight, being the bishop. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, I am delegating authority to the pastor. Study it out. As an overseer, what's an overseer? Someone who's a guardian or a superintendent. That is somebody who is in charge. What is a pastor? It's one who herds a flock, and it includes a strong idea of authority. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. Now, the writer of Hebrews says this is how you should treat your pastor. Okay, chapter 13, verse 7. First of all, remember them. I got appreciations and gifts and stuff because this is Pastor Appreciation Month. Am I right? At least it was. Now, what were they doing? They were showing appreciation. They were remembering them, which have the what over you? Rule over you. Who are these people? They have spoken unto you the Word of God, and whose faith foul. Look at verse 17. What's the first word? Obey them. You say, I don't ever hear you get up and say, you got to obey me. Because that's position leadership. But the fact is, there is a sense in which you are to obey your pastor. And I'd much rather have somebody do something because they wanted to, not because I made them do it, right? Submit yourselves. Why? What does it say? Look at verse 17. Obey them, they have the rule over you, and what? Submit yourselves. How do you know they're talking about pastors? Because they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 talks about how the pastors are over you. Now that brings me to my third point. I'm watching the clock because some of you will not forgive me if we go too long. Number one, we looked at the definition of authority. Number two, we saw the delegation of authority. Thirdly, the dismissal of authority. When is it right to dismiss or disregard authority? Well, look with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we're told that the government under the Apostle Peter told them in Acts chapter 4, and I have to move quickly, it says in verse 17 that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. In other words, don't preach about Jesus. Enough's enough. Quit it. Stop it. We're your boss. All right. Chapter 5. They did it anyway. Saying in verse 28, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And it's all over the place, saying to them. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey who? God rather than men. So when do you have to buck authority? You have to buck authority when the authority is telling you to go against God, against the Bible, against the gospel. Because there is a truth issue involved. So when the government commanded the apostles to go against God's revealed truth, they did not have to submit. Now, before we ever go against our authorities, we need to be absolutely sure that truth is being violated and not our own personal opinions. Can I say that again? Whenever I want to go against my authority, I have got to make sure it's an issue of God and His Word, not this isn't what I like. Now that brings me to my fourth point that I have 6 minutes to go over with you. And it has to do with application. Because based on what I've just shown you, I have 6 principles I want to share with you regarding authorities. Number one, and I've just mentioned it, no delegated authority has the right to clearly contradict God's revealed word or truth. Let me say that again. No delegated authority has the right to tell you to contradict God's word. So the government makes a law that says you must murder. You don't do that. Or in your home, your dad says you got to commit incest. No, you don't. Your dad or your husband cannot command you to do something that contradicts God's word. Regarding your employment, your employer cannot make you steal. And if your employer says, well, if you don't do this favor for me sexually, you're fired. You don't have to obey that employer. And if the church or the pastor gets up and contradicts God's word, you don't have to submit to that. And this is why it's very important that when I get up here and preach behind this sacred desk, that I am very clear on what the scripture says. It's not my opinion. If it is my opinion, I'll tell you. The Bible doesn't say that Kansas State has to be watched and followed and loved. But it does tell us that we cannot contradict God's word. Number two, the second thing I want you to see here is this. Delegated authorities have the right to insist on non-biblical issues. Can I say that again? Delegated authorities have the right to insist on non-biblical issues or activities or practices. So the government can say, you got to keep this speed limit. You say, where's that in the Bible? Well, you try to argue a biblical reason why you were going 15 miles over the speed limit. When that policeman pulls you over, he doesn't care about the Bibles. He's going to say, we're the boss, we made this rule. Number two, regarding this authority, you know, who makes the rules in your home? Well, you say, Mom does, because Mom's not happy, nobody's happy. Well, no, Dad is. He's the one that says, it's time to go to bed. And Dad's the one who says, okay, we're not going to watch that television program. And Dad's the one, or the husband's the one, said, we're going to live according to the Bible. He said, oh, I don't like that. Well, you need to get right with God, because God said that. See, the scripture does tell us these things. You know, your employer is the one that says, okay, you got to show up at 8 tomorrow. That's not in the Bible. Where in the Bible does it say, thou shalt go to work at 8? It doesn't. But it gave that authority to your employer. Say, I don't see why you have to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But we as a church have voted on this and said, this is what you ought to do. He says, not in the Bible. That's irrelevant. So in other words, as a pastor, kind of like when I used to coach baseball, I wanted to win ball games. And I knew that to win ball games, we needed to practice so many times a week. And so I said to the team, okay, we're going to practice this day. And what did I do if someone said, I don't care what the coach says, I'm not going. They didn't play. That's what happened. Because I knew that as a coach, I had to make some rules. You say, well, the only reason why you have Wednesday night, Sunday night church, because you've always had it. No, I didn't. I started this church under the grace of God, and I knew that this was the time that would be best to help Christians grow. Because if you don't go often to church, you're going to be deficient in your faith. Number three, to resist delegated authority is to resist God. Romans 3. You know, so you say, I'm not going to keep the speed limit. Okay, get a ticket. Or I'm not going to do what my parents tell me to do. Well, there's consequences for that. Well, I'm going to ignore the rules at work. Okay, keep doing that and find out how long you stay at that job. And if you resist the leadership of this ministry, whether it be myself or somebody else, you are resisting God. Four, I said I'm going to give you six. I got no minutes to go 3 points. I'll try to be quick. Number four, removing yourself from delegated authorities will result in consequences. Right? I don't like America. You know, it's like these people. Trump gets elected, I'm moving. And I hadn't seen him move yet. Well, you can go to Canada or wherever, but you know you're going to lose some of the rights of an American citizen. Well, I'm out of this home. As soon as I get to be 17, I'm gone. Go ahead. And now you get to pay your own bills. You get the consequences of being a responsible adult. And I know I'll join the army. I don't want rules. What a joke. Amen. What a joke. You know, you can leave your job and you can go begging and just hope the government just keeps giving you that money. And you can go from church to church to church and miss out on all the blessings and the benefits of church membership. Number five, there may be situations when changing authorities would be a good idea. You know, our founding fathers left an oppressive government to establish this government. You know, you might have to leave an abusive home and seek safety. You might have a job that's just totally unreasonable. And you, as a result, will have to try to find other work. You might leave a church because of liberalism. Or because of moving, you may have to move. You know, these messages are not a commercial to come to Faith Baptist Church. I'm telling you that the local church, if you move, you know, you need to find another church. There's sometimes good reasons to leave from one authority to the other. Yet in each one of these situations I just mentioned, you are not removing yourself from authority. You're just changing from one authority to the other. In other words, you know, if you go to this, you're going to go to another authority. But this whole attitude of, oh, we just don't go to church. We're just going to be here. We're going to go there. Nah, I might show up there. That is nowhere found in the Bible. Nowhere. Nowhere. The Bible tells us that there are times when we may have to go from one authority to another, but we have to understand that there are choices that we have to make. And that brings me to number six, and I'm done. Choose to subject yourself to your authorities. No one's perfect. No family's perfect. No church is perfect. No government's perfect. No job is perfect. But if you're in government, if you're submitting to authorities, that means you have to obey laws. You say, I don't like those laws. Vote! Vote! We are in a country where you can make a difference. You said, not much of a difference. Well, try. In your home, submit to your authorities. And sometimes you have to say, you know, can we talk? Something's not right about these demands you're making. At your job, obey your boss, obey your supervisor. You know, if there's one person at work you need to please your boss. Because that's probably going to be your paycheck. Unless they're telling you to do something wrong. And join a good church. Follow godly leadership. You see, folks, the local church is an authority issue. No wonder a lot of people say, I don't want to join a church because that means people are going to be watching me. Exactly. That's what makes the church so beneficial. And my encouragement to you is to submit to your authority. You say, well, I don't like this church. Well, then find a church where you can follow the Bible and submit to those authorities. But don't be a freelance churchgoer. That's a bunch of nonsense. You need the local church. So join one. Get involved in it. And you'll find it'll be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Now, Lord, we went a little long, and I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to follow your word. And Lord, we don't always understand everything, and we do our best here to follow the clear teachings of Scripture, to follow the principles of Scripture. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to help bring people to our church that love you, and they love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Father, we know that those authorities you put us under, it's a joy to be able to live under those authorities with a right heart. Guide and direct us now. Protect us from evil. Be with this church. Help it to grow according to your grace. In Jesus' holy name. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. The pianist is going to play. If no one comes at the first verse, feel free to come if you want to. But if no one comes, we'll close the invitation. Maybe you say, I'd like to join this church. I think God would have me to put my stakes into the work of a local church. That'd be a good reason to come. If God's dealing with you, you need to come. You come.